Star Wars, The Last Command by Timothy Zahn, continued. Cassette number 12, side 2. In answer, the Wookiee withdrew his hand from the tangle of cables, pulling the partially disconnected negative flow coupler with it. "Wait a minute," Lando said, eyeing the coupler warily. He'd heard stories about what happened when you ran a negative flow coupler into a positive flow detonator, and using a positive flow regulator instead of a detonator didn't sound a lot safer. "What exactly is this supposed to do?" The Wookiee told him. He'd been right. Using a regulator wasn't any safer. In fact, it was a whole lot more dangerous. "Let's not go overboard on this, Chewie," he warned. "We came here to destroy the cloning cylinders, not bring the whole storehouse down on top of us." Chewbacca rumbled insistently. "All right, fine. We'll keep it in reserve," Lando sighed. The Wookiee grunted agreement and got back to work. Grimacing, Lando laid his blaster down and pulled two charges out of their explosives bag. He might as well keep himself busy while he tried to figure out how they were going to get out through locked blast doors and a corridor full of stormtroopers. And if they wound up falling back on Chewbacca's power core arrhythmic resonance scheme, well, in that case, getting out of here would probably become an academic question anyway. Prying open a gap in the power cables with one hand, he got to work. The timing counter buzzed its 5-second warning, and Wedge took a deep breath. This was it. He reached for the hyperspace levers, and abruptly, the mottled sky of hyperspace faded into star lines and into stars. Around him, the rest of Rogue Squadron flashed into view, still in formation. Ahead, the distinctive light patterns and layout of a shipyard could be seen. They'd arrived at the Bilbringi shipyards. Only, they'd arrived too far out, which could only mean... "Battle alert," Rogue 2 snapped. "TIE interceptors coming in, bearing 293 Mark 20. "All ships, emergency combat status," Admiral Ackbar's gravelly voice cut in on the comm. "Defensive configuration. Starfighter command to screen positions. It appears to be a trap." "Sure does," Wedge muttered to himself, pulling hard to portside and risking a quick look at his displays. Sure enough, there were the interdictor cruisers that had brought them out of hyperspace, staying well back from the massive fleets that were beginning to jockey for battle position. And judging from the way they'd been deployed, the New Republic fleet wasn't going to be jumping to light speed anytime soon. And then the TIE interceptors were on them, and there was no time left to wonder why their carefully planned surprise attack had failed before it had even begun. For the moment, the only question was that of survival. One ship and one engagement at a time. The stealthy footsteps came around the corner 10 meters away and continued toward him. And Han pressed painfully back into the slightly recessed doorway that was the only cover for those same 10 meters, abandoned the faint hope that his pursuers would miss him, and prepared for the inevitable firefight. They should have turned off. In fact, by all rights, they shouldn't have been up here at all. From the snatches of status reports he'd been able to catch while passing by deserted checkpoints, it sounded like everyone who could carry a blaster was supposed to be 20 levels down fighting the natives who were running loose through the garrison. These upper levels didn't seem to even be occupied, and there sure wasn't anything up here, except maybe Cabal's, that needed any protection. The footsteps were getting closer. It would be just his luck, Han thought sourly, to run into a couple of deserters looking for a place to hide. And then, maybe 5 meters away, the footsteps abruptly stopped. And in the sudden silence, he heard a stifled gasp. He'd been spotted. Han didn't hesitate. Pushing hard off the door behind him, he leaped across the corridor, trying to duplicate that trick down at the defense station, or at least do the best he could without Chewbacca here to back him up. There were fewer of them out there than he'd expected, and further to the side than he expected, and he lost a vital half-second as his blaster tracked toward them. "Han!" Leia shouted. "Don't shoot!" The sheer surprise of it caught Han's timing straight across the knees, and he slammed rather ingloriously into the wall on the opposite side of the corridor. It was Leia, all right. Even more surprising, Talon Karrda was with her, along with those two Vornskr pets of his. "What in blazes are you doing here?" he demanded. "Luke's in trouble," Leia said breathlessly, rushing forward and giving him a quick, tense hug. "He's ahead somewhere." "Whoa, sweetheart," Han assured her, hanging onto her arm as she tried to pull away. "It's okay. We knew the Isala Miri were here going in." Leia shook her head. "That's just it. They're not. The Force is back, just before you jumped out of cover." Han swore under his breath. "Kabalf," he muttered. "Has to be him." "Yes," Leia said, shivering. "It is." Han threw a look at Karrda. "I was hired to destroy the Emperor's storehouse," the smuggler said evenly. "I brought Sturm and Drang along to help us find Mara." Han glanced at the Vornskrs. "You have anyone else with you?" he asked Leia. She shook her head. "We ran into a squad of troops 3 levels down moving this way. Our 2 Nogri stayed behind to hold them off." He looked at Karrda. "How about your people?" "They're all in the wild, Karrda," he said, "guarding our exit, should we have the chance to use it." Han grunted. "Then I guess it's just us," he said, shifting his grip on Leia's arm and heading down the corridor. "Come on, they're up in the throne room. I know the way." And as they ran, he tried not to think about the last time he'd faced a dark Jedi. In Lando's cloud city on Bespin, when Vader had tortured him and then had him frozen in carbonite. Somehow, from what Luke had told him, he didn't expect Kabal to be even that civilized. Chapter 27. The lightsabers flashed, blue-white blade against green-white blade, sizzling where they struck each other, slashing through metal and cable where they hit anything else. Gripping that guardrail with both hands, fighting against the turmoil roiling through her own mind, Mara watched in helpless fascination as the battle raged across the throne room floor. It was like a twisted inversion of that last horrifying vision the Emperor had given her at the instant of his destruction nearly 6 years ago. Except that this time, it wasn't the Emperor who was facing death. It was Skywalker. And it was no vision. It was real. "Watch them closely, Mara Jade," Kabal said from where he stood at the top of the steps, his voice hard yet strangely wistful. "Unless you bow willingly to my authority, you will someday face this same battle." Mara threw a sideways look at him. Kabalth was watching this duel he'd orchestrated with a fascination that bordered on the grisly. She'd called it, all right, back when she'd first met him on Jomark. The work he'd done for Thrawn had given him a taste of power. And, like the Emperor before him, that taste had not been enough. But unlike the Emperor, he was not going to be content merely with the control of worlds and armies. His would be a more personal form of empire. Minds reformed and rebuilt into his own conception of what a mind should be. Which meant that Mara had been right on the other count, too. Kabalth was thoroughly insane. "It is not insanity to offer the richness of my glory to others," Kabalth murmured. It is a gift which many would die for. You're giving Skywalker a good shot at that part anyway, Mara bit out, shaking her head to try and clear it. Between her own memories, an echo of the strange buzzing pressure she was picking up from Skywalker's mind, and Cabal's overbearing presence 2 meters away. Trying to hang on to a line of thought was like trying to fly an airspeeder in a winter windstorm. But there was a mental pattern the Emperor had taught her long ago, a pattern for those times when he'd wanted his instructions hidden even from Vader, if she could just clear her mind enough to get it in place. Through the turmoil came a sudden jolt of pain. "Do not attempt to hide your thoughts from me, Mara Jade," Cabal'th admonished her sharply. "You are mine now. It is not right for an apprentice to hide her thoughts from her master." "So, I'm already your apprentice, huh?" Mara growled, gritting her teeth against the pain and making another try at the pattern. This time, she made it. "I thought I had at least until I'd knelt at your feet." "You mock my vision," Cabal said, his voice darkly petulant. "But you shall kneel before me."
"Just like Skywalker will, right? Assuming he lives through this?"
"He will be mine," Cabal agreed, quietly confident. "As will his sister and her children."
"And then together you'll heal the galaxy," Mara said, watching his face and listening to the turmoil in her mind. Yes, the barrier seemed to be keeping Cabal back. Now, if she could just hold on to that privacy a little longer.
"You disappoint me, Mara Jade," Cabal said, shaking his head. "Do you truly believe I need to hear your thoughts in order to read your heart? Like the lesser peoples of the galaxy, you seek my destruction. A foolish notion. Did the Emperor teach you nothing about our destiny?"
"He didn't do a good job of reading his own, I know that much," Mara retorted, listening to her heart thudding as she watched Cabal. If that erratic mind of his decided she was a genuine threat and launched another of those lightning bolt attacks. Cabal smiled, holding his arms out to the sides.
"Do you feel the need to measure your strength against mine, Mara Jade? Come then, and do so."
For a pair of heartbeats, she eyed him, almost tempted to try. He looked so old and helpless, and she had her mental barrier and some of the best unarmed combat training the Empire at its height could provide. It would take just a few seconds. She took a deep breath and lowered her eyes. No, not now. Not like this. Not with these pressures and distractions spinning through her mind. She'd never make it. "You kill me now, and I won't be able to kneel for you," she muttered, letting her shoulders slump in an attitude of defeat.
"Very good," Cabal purred. "You have wisdom of a sort after all. Watch, then, and learn."
Mara turned back to the guardrail, but not to watch the lightsaber duel. Somewhere down there was the blaster Cabal had torn from her grip when he did whatever it was he'd done to the mountains Isalamiri and gotten to the Force again. If she could find it before Cabal realized that she hadn't really given up. Across the floor, Skywalker leaped up again to the catwalk. The clone was ready for the move, hurling his lightsaber upward right behind him. The blue-white blade missed Skywalker by a hair, slicing instead most of the way through the catwalk floor and one of the support struts holding it to the ceiling. With a tooth-jarring shriek, the strained metal twisted under Skywalker's weight, dumping him back off. He hit the floor more or less on his feet dropping down to land on one knee. His hand reached out, and the lightsaber that had been falling toward the clone suddenly changed direction. It arced toward Skywalker's hand and stopped dead in midair. Skywalker strained, the muscles of his hand tightening visibly as his mind stretched out.
"Not that way, Jedi Skywalker,"
Cabal said reprovingly. And Mara glanced over to see that his hand, too, was stretched out toward the errant lightsaber. The clone, for his part, was just standing there in his brown robe, as if he knew that Cabal would be on his side in this battle. Maybe he did. Maybe there was nothing left in that body but an extension of Cabal's own mind.
"This duel must be to the death," Cabal continued. "It must be weapon against weapon, mind against mind, soul against soul. Anything less will not bring you to the knowledge you must have if you are to properly serve me."
Skywalker was good, all right. With the strange buzzing pressure in his mind, he must have known he couldn't match Cabal strength for strength. Mara felt the subtle change in his concentration. And suddenly he swung his own lightsaber over his shoulder, the green-white blade sighting toward a point midway along the other lightsaber handle. But if Cabal wouldn't let Skywalker disarm his opponent, he wouldn't let him destroy the weapon either. Even as the blade sliced downward, a small object shot out of the shadows to Skywalker's right, slamming into his shoulder and deflecting his arm just far enough for his blade to sweep through empty air. An instant later, the old Jedi had torn the clone's lightsaber from Skywalker's metal grip, sending it back across the room to its owner. The clone raised it to on-guard position. Wearily, Skywalker got to his feet and prepared to continue the battle. But for the moment, Mara wasn't interested in the lightsabers. Lying on the floor, maybe 2 meters back from Skywalker's feet, was the object Cabal had thrown at him. Mara's blaster. He looked sideways at Cabal, wondering if he was watching her. He wasn't. In fact, he wasn't looking at much of anything. His eyes were unfocused, staring across the throne room, a strangely childlike smile on his face.
"She has come," he said, his voice almost inaudible over the clash of the lightsabers below. "Just as I knew she would."
Abruptly, he looked at Mara.
"She is here, Mara Jade," he said, pointing dramatically toward the turbo lift she and Skywalker had come up.
Frowning, not sure she should take her eyes off him, Mara turned her head to look. The turbolift door slid open, and Solo stepped out, his blaster ready, and right behind him. Mara caught her breath, her whole body going tense. It was Leia Organa Solo, holding a blaster in one hand and her lightsaber in the other. And behind her, his pet Vornskers in front of him on leashes, it was Carda. Organa Solo and Carda? "Leia, Han, go back," Skywalker called to them over the clash of the lightsabers as the newcomers moved along the walkway past the galaxy hologram and on into the main part of the throne room.
"It's too danger." "Welcome, my new apprentice," Cabal shouted joyfully,
his voice drowning out Skywalker's as it echoed grandly in the open space.
"Come to me, Leia Organa Solo. I will teach you the true ways of the Force."
Solo had a different sort of lesson in mind. He reached the end of the walkway, sighted along the barrel of his blaster, and fired. But even wallowing in self-delusion, a Jedi of Cabal's power couldn't be taken out that easily. In a blur of motion, Mara's blaster leaped upward from the floor into the path of the shot, its grip shattering into a shower of sparks as Solo's shot expended its energy there. The second shot was likewise blocked. The third caught the blaster's power pack, turning the weapon into a spectacular fireball. The blaster was torn from Solo's grip before he could fire a fourth. and Kabauth went berserk. He screamed, a horrible shriek of rage and betrayal that seemed like it would set the air on fire. Mara jerked back as the piercing sound cut through her ears, and an instant later nearly fell over the guardrail as the force equivalent of the scream slammed into her. It was like nothing she'd ever experienced before. Not from Vader, not from the Emperor himself. The utter animal ferocity, the total loss of every shred of self-control. It was like standing alone in the middle of a sudden violent storm. Wave after wave of fury swept over her, ripping through the mental barrier she'd created and battering her mind with a numbing combination of hatred and pain. Dimly, she saw Skywalker and Organa Solo staggering under the assault. Heard Karda's Vornskers howling in pain of their own. And from Kabauth's outstretched hands erupted a blaze of lightning. Mara winced in sympathetic pain as Solo was thrown backwards into the guardrail at the front of the hologram pit. Through the crackle of the lightning, she heard Organa Solo shout her husband's name and jump to his side, dropping her blaster and igniting her lightsaber just in time to catch the third blast of lightning on the green-white blade. Abruptly, Kabal shifted his aim upward to the damaged catwalk hanging precariously over their heads. The lightning flashed again. And with a crack of exploding metal, the center of the catwalk split apart. Pivoting on its last remaining support strut, it toppled ponderously downward toward Organa Solo. She saw it coming, or maybe Skywalker's training had taught her how to use the Force to anticipate danger. As the heavy metal swung down on her, she slashed upward with her lightsaber, cutting through the catwalk far enough to the side that the main part missed her and Solo as it swung past to crash into the floor in front of Karda and the Vornskers. But there was no time for her to get out from under the end she had cut off. It caught her across her head and shoulder, knocking the lightsaber from her hand and hammering her to the floor beside Solo. "Leia!" Skywalker shouted, throwing an anguished glance at his sister. Suddenly, the debilitating buzzing in his mind seemed to be forgotten as his fighting abruptly shifted from groggy defense to furious attack. The clone fell back before the onslaught, barely managing to block Skywalker's blows. He jumped up onto the stairway, hastily back two steps further up toward Kabauth as Skywalker charged after him, then leaped over onto the remaining guard platform. For a second, Mara thought Skywalker was going to pursue him up there, or else cut through the platform base and bring him down. He didn't do either. Standing halfway up the stairs, a sheen of sweat glistening on his face, he gazed up at Kabauth with an expression that sent a shiver down Mara's back.
"Do you also seek to destroy me, Jedi Skywalker?"
Kabauth said, his voice quietly deadly.
"For such thoughts are foolish. I could crush you like a small insect beneath my heel."
"Perhaps," Skywalker said, breathing heavily. "But if you do, you'll never have the chance to control my mind." Kabauth studied him.
"What do you want?"
Skywalker jerked his head back toward his sister and Solo. "Let them leave. All of them. Now." His eyes flicked to Mara. Mara, too.
"And if I do?"
A muscle in Skywalker's cheek twitched. His finger moved, and with a sputtering hiss, his lightsaber blade disappeared. "Let them go," he said quietly, "and I'll stay." From somewhere nearby, a dull thudding noise began, adding an irregular pulse beat to the eerie breathing sounds whispering through the cloning cavern. A blaster rifle pounding against heavy metal, Lando decided, giving the doors around the walkway a quick look. So far, they all seemed secure, but he knew that wouldn't last. The stormtroopers out there weren't firing at the doors just for target practice, and there was bound to be a bag of shaped explosives on their way. From the other side of the equipment column, Chewbacca rumbled a warning. I am keeping my head down, Lando assured him, peering into the gap between two large ducts at the maze of multicolored wiring and piping beyond. Now, where was that repulsor pump connection again? He had located the spot and was reaching in with the charge when the call beak from his comlink unexpectedly went off, echoing a fraction of a second later from Chewbacca's comlink. Frowning, half expecting it to be some hotshot Imperial tech who'd found his channel, he pulled it out. Calrissian, he said.
Ah, General Calrissian,
3PO's precise voice came back.
I see R2 has been successful in eliminating the jamming. Surprising, actually, given all the trouble which we've been required to...
Tell him good job, Lando cut him off.
Now was decidedly not the time for a pleasant little chat with 3PO.
Was there anything else?
Yes, sir, there is, the droid said. The Nogri instructed me to ask whether you wish us to return to assist you.
There was another thud, a louder one this time.
I wish you could, Lando sighed, but you'd never make it back in time.
The thud came again, and this time he distinctly saw the door opposite their bridge shake with the impact.
We'll just have to get out of here by ourselves.
From the other side of the work platform, Chewbacca rumbled his less than enthusiastic opinion of that.
But if Chewbacca wishes us to return...
You won't get here in time, Lando told him firmly. Tell the Nogri if they want to be useful, they should head up to the throne room and give Han a hand. It's too late for that, a new voice put in, almost too quiet to hear.
Lando frowned at the comlink.
Han?
No, it's Talon Karrda, the other identified himself. I came in with Counselor Organa Solo. We're up in the throne room.
Leia's here? Lando asked. What in...
Shut up and listen.
Karrda cut him off.
That Jedi Master of Luke's, Jorus Kabalth, is up here too. He's taken out Solo and Organa Solo both, and has Skywalker fighting what looks to be a clone of himself. He's not paying any attention to me at the moment. There's some kind of face-off going on up there. But he would the minute I tried anything.
I thought Luke said the Force was being blocked.
It was. Somehow, Kabauth got it back. Are you down with the cloning tanks?
We're above them, yes.
Why? Organa Solo suggested earlier that there should be a large number of Isala Miri scattered around that area, Karrda said. If you can pull a few of them off their nutrient frames and get them up here, we might have a chance of stopping him.
Chewbacca growled mournfully, and Lando felt his lip twist as he nodded agreement. So that was what all those blasting disc explosions had been about.
It's too late for that, too, he told Karrda. Kabaos already had them all killed.
For a long moment, the comlink was silent.
I see, Karrda said at last. Well, that explains that. Any suggestions?
Lando hesitated.
Not really, he said. If we come up with anything, we'll let you know.
Thank you, Karrda said, a little too dryly. I'll be waiting.
There was a click as he left the channel. 3PO, you still there? Lando asked.
Yes, sir,
the droid answered.
Get R2 back on the computer, Lando told him. Have him do whatever he can to shift troops away from that air intake we came in through. Then you and the Nogri start heading that way.
We're leaving, sir?
3PO asked, sounding astonished.
That's right, Lando told him. And Chewie and I will be right behind you, so you'd better move fast if you don't want to get stepped on. Better alert the two Nogri that Luke sent with that Mynirshi bunch, too. Got all that?
Yes, sir,
3PO said hesitantly.
What about Master Luke and the others?
Leave that to me, Lando told him.
Get busy.
Yes, sir,
3PO said again. Another click, and he was gone. There was a moment of silence. Chewbacca broke it with the obvious question.
I don't think we've got a choice anymore, Lando told him grimly. The way Luke and Mara talk about him, Cabalth's at least as dangerous as the Emperor was, maybe even more so. We've got to try to take out the whole storehouse and hope we get him along with it.
Chewbacca growled an objection.
We can't.
Lando shook his head.
At least not until it's set and running. We warn anyone up there now, and Cabalth will know all about it. Might have time to get it stopped.
There was another muffled blast from the door.
Come on, let's get this done, Lando said, picking up the last of his explosives.
With luck, they would have time to rig Chewbacca's arrhythmic resonance gimmick before the stormtroopers got in. With a little more luck, the two of them might make it out of the cavern alive. And with still more, they might be able to find a way to alert Han and the others before the whole storehouse blew up beneath them. For a long moment, the throne room was silent. Mara stared at Skywalker, wondering if he understood what he was saying. To offer to voluntarily stay here with Cabalth. His gaze flicked sideways again to meet hers, and even through the buzzing in his mind, she could feel his private dread. He knew what he was saying, all right, and he meant it. If Cabalth accepted his offer, he would go willingly with the insane Jedi, sacrificing himself to save his friends, including the woman who'd once promised to kill him. She turned away, suddenly unable to watch. Her eyes found Carda, half hidden behind the wreckage of the catwalk as he knelt between his two Vornskers. Stroking them, talking quietly to them, probably calming them down after that force-driven tantrum of Cabalth's. She peered at the animals, but they didn't seem to be hurt. Her head movement must have caught Carda's eye. He looked up at her, his face expressionless. Still patting the Vornskers, he tilted his head fractionally toward Solo and Organa Solo. Frowning, Mara followed his gaze and froze. Beside the section of catwalk wreckage still half covering his wife, Solo was moving. Slowly, a couple of centimeters at a time, he was creeping across the floor. Toward the blaster, Organa Solo had dropped.
You ask too much, Skywalker, Cabalth warned softly. Mara Jade will be mine, must be mine. It is the destiny demanded of her by the Force. Not even you may trifle with that.
Right, Mara put in, looking back at Cabalth and putting all the sarcasm into her voice as she could manage. Whatever the risks to herself, she had to draw as much of Cabal's attention away from the other end of the throne room as she could.
I still have to kneel at his feet, remember?
You insult me, Mara Jade, Cabal said, turning an evil smile on her. Do you really believe me so easy to mislead?
Still watching her, he crooked a finger. And as Solo's hand stretched out toward it, the blaster twitched another half meter out of his reach. From the guard platform came a subtle change in hum.
Skywalker, look out!
Mara snapped. Skywalker spun around, lightsaber igniting again and swinging up into defense. The clone, his wind or his courage back, was already halfway through his leap, his lightsaber slicing downward. The two blades met with a crash and an impact that drove Skywalker backward to the edge of the stairway. He took one step more, fought for balance, then dropped off to the floor below. Mara threw a quick look at Solo as the clone charged over the edge in pursuit. If the clone really was an extension of Cabal's mind. But no, Even as Solo tried again for the blaster, it again slid away from him. Whatever effort Cabalth was expending on the lightsaber duel, he clearly still had enough concentration left to toy with his prisoners.
"You see, Mara Jade?" Cabalth asked quietly.
His fury had passed. The brief flicker of fun as he toyed with his prisoners had passed. And now it was time to return to the important business of building his empire.
"It is inevitable. I will rule, and along with Skywalker and his sister, you will serve at my side, and we shall be great together."
Abruptly, he took a long step back from the guardrail on the other side of the stairway. Just in time. An instant later, Skywalker was back, backflipping up from the lower throne room floor. He landed with his back to Mara, floundering a moment as he fought to recover his balance. There was another flash of light, blue-white this time, as the clone leaped up over the guardrail in pursuit, swinging his lightsaber in vicious horizontal arcs to guard against attack. Skywalker moved backward out of his way. Glancing past him, Mara saw Cabalth take a hasty backward step of his own. The clone hit the floor and charged, lightsaber still slashing toward Skywalker in wide horizontal arcs. Skywalker continued to give way, apparently unaware that he was backing toward the solid rock wall, against which he would be trapped. They passed by, and Mara looked over to find Cabalth once again gazing at her.
"As I said, Mara Jade," he said, "inevitable. And with you and Skywalker beside me, the lesser peoples of the galaxy will flock to us like leaves in the wind. Their hearts and their souls will be ours."
He looked across the room and beckoned. Still crouching behind the catwalk wreckage, Carda jerked in surprise as his blaster rose from his holster and shot through the air toward Cabalth. Halfway there, it was joined by Organa Solo's dropped lightsaber, and the blaster Solo was still doggedly trying to chase down.
"As will their insignificant weapons," Cabalth added.
Holding a negligent hand out to receive them, he turned his eyes back to the duel, about to play itself to its conclusion. It was the chance Mara had been waiting for, possibly the last chance she would ever have. Reaching through the chaos surrounding her mind, she stretched out to the Force, focusing her eyes and mind on the weapons flying across the room toward Cabal's hand. She felt his inattentive control snap, and Organa Solo's lightsaber arced away from the blasters to land firmly in her hand. Cabalth spun back to face her, the blasters falling with a clatter onto the stairway.
"No!"
he screamed, his face twisted horribly with fear, confusion, and dread. Mara felt his sudden frantic tug fumbling at the lightsaber. But it, too, was twisted with confusion and dread, and this time he didn't have surprise on his side. Given time, he would recover from the shock, but Mara had no intention of giving him that time. Igniting the lightsaber, she charged. The clone must have heard her coming, of course. The distinctive sound of her lightsaber made that inevitable. But with Skywalker backed up against the wall, the temptation to finish off one opponent first was too great to resist. He swung one last time, his lightsaber slashing into the wall as Skywalker ducked low beneath the blade. And with a brilliant flash of shattered electronics, the wall exploded outward, over Skywalker's head, and directly into the clone's face. Skywalker hadn't been backing into a wall after all. He'd been backing into one of the throne room's view screens. The clone shrieked, the first sound Mara could remember hearing him make as he staggered backward. He spun toward the sound of her lightsaber, his face twisted with anger and fear, his eyes still dazzled. He raised his lightsaber to attack.
"You will kill Luke Skywalker."
She ducked beneath the slashing blade, gazing into his face, Skywalker's face. The face that had haunted her nightmares for nearly 6 years. The face the Emperor had ordered her to destroy. You will kill Luke Skywalker. And for the first time since she'd found Skywalker and his crippled X-Wing floating in deep space, she let herself give in to the voice swirling through her mind. With all her strength, she swung her lightsaber and cut him down. The clone crumpled, his lightsaber clattering to the floor beside him. Mara gazed down at him, and as she took a ragged breath, the voice in the back of her mind fell silent. It was done. She had fulfilled the Emperor's last command, and she was finally free.
Chapter 28.
That appears to be all of them, Captain, Thrawn said, gazing out the bridge viewport at the rebel warships spread out along the edges of the Interdictor cruiser's gravity cones. Instruct the Constrainer and Sentinel to secure from entrapment duty and return to their positions in the demarcation line. All warships prepare to engage the enemy.
Yes, sir,
Pelion said, shaking his head in silent wonder as he keyed in the orders. Once again, against overwhelming evidence to the contrary, the Grand Admiral had proved himself right. The rebel assault fleet was here. And probably wondering at this very moment what had gone wrong with their clever little scheme. It occurs to me, Admiral, that we might not want to destroy all of them, he suggested. Someone should be allowed to return to Coruscant to tell them how badly they were outsmarted.
I agree, Captain, Thrawn said, though I doubt that will be their interpretation. More likely they'll conclude instead that they were betrayed.
Probably, Pelion agreed, throwing a quick look around the bridge. He'd thought he'd heard a faint sound just then, something like an overstressed bearing or someone rumbling in the back of his throat. He listened closely, but the sound wasn't repeated, though that would work equally well to our advantage.
Indeed, Thrawn said. Shall we designate Admiral Ackbar's Star Cruiser for messenger duty?
Pelion smiled tightly. Ackbar, who'd just barely survived Counselor Borsthalia's previous accusations of incompetence and treason over the operation of the Sleesvan shipyards. This time, he wouldn't be so lucky.
A nice touch, Admiral, he said. Thank you, Captain.
Pelion glanced up at Rook, standing silent guard behind Thrawn's chair, and wondered if the Nogri appreciated the irony of it all. Given the species' lack of sophistication, probably not. Ahead, space was filling with flashes of laser fire as the opposing starfighter squadrons began to engage. This book is continued on cassette number 13, side 1.